I watched an interview of an Iranian former Muslim who became Muslim. He's in his 30s, who became a Christian yesterday. And he was talking about being raised in Islam and everything that they were taught supposedly about Muhammad and the different issues with him and everything about how that was good and that Islam was the only perfect religion and all the stuff that went along with that. And then he caught rides with a friend to go to another family member's wedding, and they didn't know they had to drive through a checkpoint. And the friends had hidden alcohol in the car. Well, in Iran, that is a offense that brings jail time with a beating. He goes, I didn't even know it was there. We got pulled over. The next thing you know, I'm a 15-year-old. I'm with these other people. And they beat us. They hauled us all into a jail. They stripped us all down, men and women, everybody that they had, because they were arresting a lot of people coming to this wedding. And they put us all in a cell and then threatened our lives. And he says, it took me time to get out of there. And I started questioning it. And he started talking about the different Vedas and the different things from the book of Quran and how that he wants death to all Jews and Christians and how that you either submit or die. And he started questioning that. And then he had someone who was able to give him a Bible and someone who witnessed to him and said, Jesus Christ died for you. You don't die for him. And he went on and talked about that which he saw, and when he opened up the Bible and he started reading, he says, they never want us to know this. And he said, by faith, I've accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, my hope of heaven. He went on and talked about it, and he doesn't live in Iran anymore. He was able to get out. But by faith is the key to Christian living. And this is Faith for Christian Living, part 3. And you know, we've looked at this. This is the third week. And in Hebrews chapter 11, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by this the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more perfect or more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and he being yet dead speaketh. The difference between Abel's gift to God and Cain's gift to God. You remember it? Abel's gift was a blood sacrifice, one of the lambs of his flock. Because without the shedding of blood, there's no. And he offered it by faith. Cain offered the product of his garden. He offered him his own works. And not by the works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he hath saved us by the washing, regeneration, renewing of the Holy Ghost. And so Abel offered a more perfect sacrifice, an excellent sacrifice. And that testimony should be there. God doesn't require perfect works from you. You cannot work to go to heaven. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts will be established. Once you have trusted Jesus Christ by faith in what God said in the Bible, the Holy Scriptures, once you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're to walk by faith, and you learn from God's Word what works please Him and what works don't please Him. And what you're going to find as you do this, and we're going to look at different things today, it's not the amount of works that you do and how hard you work at those. It's the heart attitude you have in what you do. If you serve God with a grumbling heart, that's wood, hay, and stubble. If you serve God in your relationship with others with a grumbling heart, that's wood, hay, and stubble. You want rewards in heaven? They don't get you to heaven, but God is a just and righteous and holy God. He does reward obedience, just like any good parent rewards obedience. It says here in verse 5, by faith Enoch was translated, he should not see death. I love that. You know, you have an astronaut. Astronaut means those who travel into outer space, right? By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God translated him. That's what you could call a rapture, a translation from one form to another. For before the translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. See, Enoch wasn't an astronaut. He was a was not. He was something before. By faith he followed God. And God took him. There's going to come a day, and I'm praying that it comes shortly, that the world has hundreds of millions. Because you got to remember, there is 1.4, 1.5 billion people who live in India alone. So 100 million is nothing, is it? That's nothing. That's not a tenth. That's a 15th of the world's population. I don't know who's saved and who's not saved. I know I'm saved. You can tell me you're saved. I'll believe you, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. That's charity. But if you're trusting in your good works, you're going to go the way of Cain. We want to go the way of Enoch. Enoch is a picture of a special removal before judgment. That sound familiar to you? You know what we're praying for in the rapture? Which is a translation. We're praying for a special removal before judgment. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. How does that affect some of the areas of your everyday life? Well, it tells the husbands to love their wives as Christ so loved the church and gave himself for it. You don't do that by faith. That's not pleasing to God. It tells the wives to be in submission or subjection to their own husbands in everything. Does that mean they don't have a voice? No. It means when the choice has to be made, the wife follows the husband, doesn't argue about it. If you don't do that, you're not walking by faith because faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Did I say that I like that? No. But I didn't write this book. God did. Holy men of God moved and spake as they were moved. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Okay. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. With that, we saw that faith is essential. In our first lesson on this, it's essential. And we told you that the word faith and believe are mentioned 771 times in your 1611 King James Bible. It says faith is based upon God's word. Romans 10:17. Can't separate from that. If you believe God's leading you to do something and it goes contrary to what God's word says, that's not the Spirit of God leading you. There's no argument. There's no discussion. If you're following what God says in your relationships, you're walking by faith in obedience to that, to His Word. If you don't, it's not justified by before God. You can't please Him that way. I had a woman. I was introduced to talk to her and her husband. Used to work for a dealer, car dealership. The man did. And the man wasn't a believer, but the wife was a Jehovah's Witness. She got converted to it. And so then the other Jehovah's Witnesses, because her husband wasn't a believer, convinced her that she should... Now, he wasn't beating her. He was paying the bills. He was trying to be there for her children. He loved her. He tried to. He was in a questioning mode about Christianity. And she said, God's led me to divorce my husband. They want me to start seeing this other man in the church. I said, chapter and verse. I don't care if it's the corrupt, and it is a corrupt, the New World translations that the Jehovah's Witnesses had to write because you could refute their beliefs with the King James Bible. In the beginning was the Word, and Word was with God, and the Word was God. The New World translation says, a God. The same was in the beginning with God, because they don't want to give Jesus Christ, the second member of the Godhead, his position. And I said, it's not the Holy Spirit leading you to do that, ma'am. I'm telling you, I believe that's a demonic spirit of the God of this world, the prince and power of the air that worketh in the children of disobedience. And if you go against God's word, you are wrong. She didn't want to meet with me anymore. As far as I know, they weren't part of the church. I don't chase people down. He that intermeddleth in a matter that's not his is like a what? It's like taking a dog by the ears. You know what you're going to get? Bit. People come to me for counseling. I say, you need the schedule. I can't care more than someone else. People say they want help. If they want help, they'll do the steps necessary, won't they? See, so God has to work in that. So faith is essential. Faith is based on God's word. Faith causes the believer to step out in obedience to God's word. I'm telling you right now, I don't understand all the Bible. I don't. If you think you understand it all, you're smarter than God, because he's the only one who does. I will say I've probably been through it more times than most of you. Okay? If you're not over 320 times, I'm going to do 350 this year, then you haven't been through it as much. Every time I read that Bible, I find out that I know less than what I thought I knew. God shows me something different. I had somebody said, I've read my Bible from cover to cover. I know exactly what God wants. Desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. Strong meat belongeth to them who are full age, having their what? Senses exercised therein. You want to grow? You got to eat the right food. You want to go physically? You can't have my almond joys. You can't have a daily Pepsi. We can't have bowls of ice cream, Kevin. Especially when we get older, inflammation will get you. You got to eat the right things, right? As I told you last week, no Bible, no breakfast. Desire the sincere milk of the word. So your faith is based on God's word. It's faith based on obedience to that word. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the words of truth. The last point we looked at last week was faith looks beyond this life. If you are saved, you do face a judgment. It is not the same judgment that the world faces. If we don't go, or we may see it, but we won't be judged at the great white throne judgment. I got saved out of a church that taught a general judgment for all people. No, there's the judgment seat of Christ for those who belong to Jesus Christ, who will be judged the works that they do. You find that in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and chapter 6. Your works will be judged, whether they're gold, silver, precious stones, or wood, hay, stubble. That which passes through the fire, you know, when you pass gold through the fire, it becomes worth more. You pass silver through the fire, it becomes worth more because the slag and the draft comes off of that. It becomes more pure. There's a big difference in the value of 10-karat gold and 24-karat gold. You know what the difference is? One is purer than the other. Well, our works, after we're saved, go through the fire, whether they honored and glorified God, whether they were done with a right heart, and whether they were done in obedience to Him. If they weren't done according to God's standard, they burn like wood, hay, and stubble. But it says, yet so ye should be saved, if so by fire. You don't go through the fire. That's reserved for the great white throne judgment. People will spend an eternity in fire by rejecting Jesus Christ. So we look for a faith. Our faith looks beyond this life. Colossians 3, set your affections on things above and not things here on this earth. Right? For we shall all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. That's a judgment. We come through that judgment and then we go into an eternity in heaven with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Do you know that? Jesus says, in my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, ye may be also. I look forward to that. Not because God's going to give me a mansion, but because I get to be with the one who loved me enough to die for me, was strong enough to have victory over my sin, over the devil, and over the grave, rose on the third day and seated at the right hand of the Father, who intercedes for me today when I mess up. As I said last week, if you think you won't sin after you get saved, you are a fool. If you look at the wrong things, you will sin. If you listen to the wrong spirit, you will sin. God gives us a free will. 1 Corinthians 10:13, there hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which ye are able, but will with the temptation make a what? Way of escape to be able to bear it. Temptation's not sin. Sin is sin. Transgression of the law is sin. Iniquity is sin. Trying to say that a man can become a woman and a woman become a man is sin. Trying to say that that baby in a woman's womb is just protoplasm, it's not a life yet, is sin. Because they're fearfully and wonderfully made. Are you with me? Do you understand? To rebel against what God's word says is sin. To the point that the Bible says in the Old Testament, rebellion is as the sin as of witchcraft. Sorcery. Okay? So we see that. Faith causes us to look ahead. I always forget and get her last name messed up. Marty and Lorraine Schaefer. Lorraine, not part of this church anymore. They go to another church in Syracuse. She was a member here for a lot of years, used to live next door to us. Helped her through a lot of problems in her life. Encouraged her when she had a chance to remarry late in life. Husband loves her. She loves him. They serve the Lord the best they can with her health. They hear anything's wrong with me. They hear anything wrong with Judy. We get a card in the mail. And in it are verses about heaven, always. Verses about the streets of gold. Verses about the river of the water of life. Verses about no need for the sun, the moon, or the stars, because the Lamb is the light thereof. You know what it is? To encourage us to not look at our circumstances, but look to our home. Because that's what heaven is for you. We're pilgrims and wanderers on this earth once we're saved. You're going to wake up one day in heaven, and it will be home. No more arguments there. No more disappointments there. No more hurt feelings there. Because God is love. It'll be the first time in all eternity that you ever be in a place where the oversensing of that love in the light of that love will shine on you. Faith looks for something other than this world. Next thing we see, I want you to see in Hebrews chapter 11, just to turn there. It says, we've got to finish this up today. Verse 17, by faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that ought received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. Faith is tested. You know when God tested Abraham's faith? They believe Isaac was approximately 17 years old. But you got to remember, in Genesis 15, it says, Abraham believed God and it was counted to him for righteousness' sake. What did he believe? God said, you're going to have children as the stars of heaven, as the sand of the sea. I'm giving you title deed to this earth. And he believed him. He wasn't talking to him about Jesus. He believed what God said to him, counted to him for righteousness' sake. You know, after that happened, you know what he did? He offered up his wife to another man to save his hide. Said, she's my sister, which is a half-truth because she was a half-sister. And no, that wasn't sin then, okay? An intermarriage situation within the family. He offered her. Is that the way God says a man's supposed to live for his wife? No. Did God destroy him then because of that sin? No. Abraham continued on and he continued to grow to the point when it came to the time when the single most important one that all the promises given to him by God were going to go through that young man. Not through Ishmael. That's why we got the problem over in the Middle East, Ishmael. Through Isaac. And God says, Abraham, give me your son. Okay, Lord. His son asked him, we have the wood. We have the fire. Where's the sacrifice? Abraham says, God shall provide himself a sacrifice. Ram caught in the thicket. The knife was up. It was coming down to plunge into Isaac's heart. And Abraham was willing to do that. I've watched parents mess up their kids because they're not willing to let their kids serve God. That's too dangerous. We're praying for a missionary we have that's over in Ukraine. Rockets and bombs coming down. They're in a subway waiting for it to stop, to come out. They just returned to that country so they could serve God, knowing there was a war there. I had a woman at a pastor's conference one time ask me what she should do about her child. She believed her son was telling him, I'm going off to Bible school. I want to be a missionary. He didn't want to go to a safe place, and she told him, no. If you do that, I won't speak to you. Saved lady. Thinking she needed to control her son to protect him. Where's the safest place you can be? In the center of the will of God. That son is no longer serving God. He doesn't go to church any longer. Mama gets to see him. But his heart's not right with the one who called him. I say that because Abraham was willing to sacrifice his son. That's why he's the father of faith. He'd offered up his wife twice to two different rulers to save his hide. He knew, he bargained with God. He got God down from destroying Sodom and Gomorrah, that if they could find him just 10 righteous people there. And God said, you find 10 righteous, I will not destroy them. You know what Abraham had there? He had his nephew Lot, and not Lot's wife. That's two. Surely Lot was grown, raised in Abraham's family. He should be righteous in his wife. He had two adult daughters that married two adult men. That makes six. That surely they should be righteous. He had two young daughters. That's eight. So of the 100,000 people of those two cities or wherever the population was that lived there, they should be able to find at least two more righteous. There's just a problem. The sons-in-law and the daughters looked at their father and father-in-law and thought he was a fool. So he leaves with his wife, Lot's wife. He left with Lot and their two teenage daughters. And she looks back and becomes a pillar of salt. You think Abraham didn't know what happened there? Two cities and the total population destroyed by fire, sulfur fire from heaven. It's all stuff he knew and saw. You know what Abraham knew? Center verse of your King James Bible. It's not the other Bibles because they don't have the same number of verses. They don't have the same structure. Psalm 118 and verse 8 has 14 words in it. 14, 2 times 7. So you know what that means? There's no center word in the Bible. You know what the center word of the Bible is? The center, the Lord. The verse says it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man, because the arm of flesh will fail you. Job says, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Job is considered one of the most righteous, he and Daniel, the two most righteous men of the Old Testament. You say, what is this? Your faith will be tested. I could take you to, we won't go there sake of time, Exodus chapter 4, verses 29 through 31, they're questioning Moses in the wilderness. Exodus chapter 5, verses 4 through 23, they're questioning, they're coming under attack, they're afraid. The supreme ruler of all the earth, Pharaoh, was still after them. They're in persecution. They hadn't had the Passover yet, the night when the death angel came through. And they're trying to follow Moses. And Pharaoh puts the screws to them and says, go gather your own straw. We're not giving it to you anymore. But don't drop the tell of the bricks. The tell means the count of the bricks. How did you do this to us? Their faith is tested. Will God deliver them? Did God deliver them? In spite of their lack of faith, he delivered them miraculously. Faith always will be tested. That's not tempting you to sin. That's tempting you or testing you that you, do you believe God and are you willing to be obedient to him, even when you don't understand? You hear it all the time in this church. God is always good and God is always right. We just don't always understand. And when we don't understand, what do we have to fall back on? God is always good and God is always right, because his ways are not our ways. You still with me? Because you can't see it, because faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, you can't see it, you have to believe him and follow his word. So faith is tested. Look at Hebrews 11 and verse 23. Not only is faith tested, in verse 23, by faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child. And they were not afraid of the king's what? What was the commandment? Every male child that came out of the matrix, every male child that came out of a Hebrew woman was to be killed. Only the females. Because they were becoming too popular, afraid the males would get too strong. Didn't realize one Jew in God is enough to take off all of Egypt. They were not afraid of the king's commandment. Faith gives us courage. 2 Timothy 1:7, if you haven't memorized it, you need to. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear. We get so caught up in fear of offending somebody, we end up offending God to try to be right with them, failing to understand that the Bible says, if a man's ways please the Lord, even his what? Enemies shall be at peace with him. I'm quoting you scripture. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We get afraid of what they're going to think about us. Set your affection on things above and not things here on this earth. You ought to be more concerned about your relationship with your Savior than you are what some other person thinks of you. You've heard me tell, Pastor Kinney has the same exact attitude. He loves you. Your pastor loves you. He prays for you. Love you and prayed for you for years and years and years while I was the pastor. But I love God more. He loves God more. And if he has to choose between pleasing you as an individual in your problem and you're upset and he gives you scripture and you say, I don't believe that, I'm not doing that, he's got to please who more? God. He loves God more. Faith gives us courage. Look at verses 24. Let's go there. Hebrews 11, 24. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Yeah, but he's going to lose that. He's next in line. Choosing rather to suffer the affliction with the people of God than to enjoy what? Pleasure of sin for a season. Oh, I want to do what I want to do, but one day I'll start serving God. I'll live for him one day. There's a Christian song. It's not a hymn. It's called One Day Too Late. You know what? A believer wants to start living for God. When do you do that? Now. If you haven't been, when do you start? Now. You don't believe God hears your prayers? Get right with him now. Because if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. A good parent doesn't listen to the whining of their child when the child is doing wrong. Amen? You reward obedience. You know what God rewards? Obedience. And it only comes by faith. You have faith is what causes you to come to the scriptures, look for the answer, talk to someone else who takes you to the scriptures and looks for the answer that God has. The answer for everything in my life is in this book. Because whether I live, whether I die, I am his. The answer is there. Will I look for it? And when I find it, will I obey it? I've had people say, I don't know what God's will for my life is. Well, you show up in church once a month. What are you trying to say? The beginning of this study started in Hebrews 11, or I did on Wednesday nights, called Bible Salad, Let Us, right? Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith. You're living a life before the world and talking about your faith. Without wavering, for faithful is he that promised. Let us consider one another and provoke unto love and good works. I just preached about that. What? Wednesday night. Part of that love and good works is not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together for the manner of, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so the much more as you see the day approaching. You look at anything in the Middle East, make you a little nervous about what's taking place. It makes me anxious because I'm going, Lord, is it today? Is it today? Are you coming back today? Lord, are you going to bring about that peace real quick so then we can get out of here? So the Antichrist can be shown and we're gone? See, because you know, the Antichrist doesn't have to be revealed for you to go up. Everything needed for the translation, the rapture, is already here. It's done. The inner workings are taking place to bring peace in the Middle East. Is there any peace without the Prince of Peace? Not a real one. And a false one. The false always comes before the real. I pray for his return every day. I used to kid. My friend Patrick over here, he loves Star Trek. Right, Nance? He loves Star Trek. Yeah, I can make Patrick laugh. I can walk over and say, beam me up, Scotty. There's no intelligent life here. Isn't that the way you feel sometimes? The world's gone crazy. Faith, your faith is tested. That faith that comes from God will give you courage. He promises it. It will help you to make wise choices. Moses, by faith, chose suffering with the affliction of God's people. Than living in luxury as the son of Pharaoh. Faith can give you the same wisdom to make the same right choices to please God. Whether to follow the crowd or to follow Christ. Whether to be wholeheartedly for Christ. You ready? I'm going to give you verses for faith in your life. You ready? I beseech you, therefore, brethren. Are you saved? You're part of the brethren. That's men and women, all right? I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be ye not conformed to this, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove. That's test it. Put it out there and walk by it and see if God's going to do what he says. That you might prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. It's interesting. It's not said, it's not written the same way in some of the other translations. God has no problem when you try him by doing what he says and see if he's right. There's things I have done. You know this building's here when it makes no sense? Right, Shannon? Makes no sense. We're trying to do a pay it down Sunday, next Sunday. Please help us pay it down. Get it under 100,000. We're trying to pay it down. This building, this property now is worth over $1.5 million. It's going on $2 million. We don't have any millionaires in this church. We have very few people who make six figures. Very few. And if they do make that gross, they have such a high overhead, it comes down into that what I would call normal person range. We'd outgrown the building next door and watch this church go up to, there's supposed to be a maximum of 110 in that building. You put 110 in that building next door and you can't breathe. You're packed in against each other. We go up to around 100, 110, we go back down. Go up to 105, go back down. And it go down to about 70. I took the church originally when I became the senior pastor. I was the assistant pastor for quite a few years under Pastor Christian. We were running about 50 people, 55. Get back up, and God's saying, you going to trust me? I went to the deacon and said, God, I believe God's leading us to build a building. We need more room. It's kind of like that Field of Dreams, build it and they will come. That's what we did. We had $200,000 saved up. The bank wouldn't give us a loan because they don't like foreclosing on churches. I had to become the collateral for this. By faith, I said, God, you want me to do this? Okay, I'm going to put myself in the offering plate, what I had prepared to take care of my wife and my children. And I became the guarantor by faith. It made no sense. My investment counselor said, you are nuts. If God be for us, my deacons, they go, preacher, this doesn't make any sense. I can. Russ has an analytical mind. Russ deals with businesses. He deals with lawyers. He deals with companies. Deals with this. He's running a business, and he's going, preacher, I don't see how we can do this. But if God's led you to do that by faith, I got your back. I'll support you by faith. The deacons all lined up, support by faith. And you know what we have here? We have a building that if God blessed before the translation or the rapture comes, we can seat 400 people. Do you understand that? Is there 400 people here yet? No, but you know, we support 60-some-odd missionaries. We send money around the world. We pay our bills. We brought it down from, we had a man give us, you can see his picture out there because that's all he agreed to have the loan, or not the loan, the grant given to us. He says his picture and the Ten Commandments had to be posted in the building. $260,000 of that came from him. You got $260,000, I'll put your picture next to his. I know Caleb will. It makes no sense. People look at this building and they go, look at our congregation, and they look, we're not rich people. But we try to teach you to walk by faith because we are willing to walk by faith. You make wise choices according to God. Look at Hebrews chapter. See, you can't be lazy and walk by faith. You can't serve God and mammon. You got to serve God or mammon. 1 second. Let's go to Proverbs 13. Proverbs 13. Let me see. Did I mark this? Proverbs 13. Verse 4. The soul of the sluggard desireth and hath nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made what? Look at Proverbs 16. The preparations of the heart of man and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. All the ways of man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the spirit of what you're doing it by. Commit thy what? What you do unto the Lord, and he'll establish your thoughts. Lord, I don't understand, but your word says do this. I will follow you. You know what you tell a little kid when they ask you why? When they're not ready to understand because they haven't gone through enough, you say, because I said so and I have what's best for you at heart. Right? So it helps you make wise choices. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians 9:1 that God spoke to me about before I made the commitment I did. I'm no longer under that commitment, I want you to know. It lasted 4 years. I came out from under that commitment. The church did everything it was supposed to do. God met every need. Everything was paid for, and God's blessed. Okay? 2 Corinthians 9:6. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also how? And he that soweth how? Shall reap also how? Is God a liar? No. Now look at Hebrews chapter 11 again, because we're closing up. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 32. And what shall I say the more? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, of Barak, of Samson, of Jephthah, of David and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had a trial of cruel mockings and scourging, yea, moreover, the bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, they were tempted, they were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and in caves of the earth. This is to talk to you about your faith, about my faith. And these all having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God having provided some better thing for who? Us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Faith overcomes and endures. Every Christian at some point should read Fox's Book of Martyrs to see what it cost for you to have the book you have. You need to turn to that. Turn to him. One last verse and we are done. Revelation chapter 3. Verse 10, because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. All God's people said, take a break. Get ready for the morning service.